Welcome to The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. Good morning, I'm your host, Scott Harvey. This week, a conversation with Fannin County Judge Spanky Carter as the state struggles to fund volunteer fire departments, how the small North Texas county is doing its part to keep an adequate number of servicemen and equipment on hand.
The last year or so, with all the wildfires, it certainly has been a challenge for Fannin County and many other counties.
And a warm welcome for one of the newest members of the Texas A&M University system.
Please join me in welcoming Chancellor John Sharp.
This is the jewel of growth, we like to call it, because there is no institution in the entire A&M system that is growing faster than this university is growing.
Those topics are coming up after we check out the week's headlines. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
You may have been thinking about corporate underwriting on KETR, but don't know how to get started. Let us make it easy for you. Call 903-513-9684. I'm Sherry Gardner. I'll be happy to explain the process step by step. If you like, I can even swing by and drop off some information for you to look at. It's that easy.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
How's that cook?
How do you change the ringtone?
How much does this cost?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life, except...
Any questions?
No.
At the doctor's office, ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
Questions lead to better health care. Go to ahrq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Before you even walk out the door, let NPR's Daily News Magazine Morning Edition take you on a trip around the world. Meet the people and visit the places in the headlines. Discover others you didn't know existed. You can get the culturally rich experiences that come with a stamp in your passport without the jet lag. So go places with Morning Edition from NPR News. Weekdays at 5 a.m. on listener-supported 88.9 KETR.
Welcome back to The Lead. It's now time to check out the headlines from this week throughout Northeast Texas. John Prickett is the newest member of the Sulphur Springs School Board, filling the vacancy left by Foy Williams, who resigned due to health reasons. Prickett is employed by a grocery supply company and previously served as the city's Economic Development Corporation Executive Vice President. He was named to the post Monday. The Hunt County Transportation Planning Committee is scheduled to present its draft plan to city councils this month before a March vote by county commissioners. On Monday, the committee, which formed 2 years ago, held its second meeting seeking public feedback. The plan is to provide for Hunt County's transportation needs over the next 2 decades. Groundbreaking for a new community center at Little Bethel Church in Ladonia was held Sunday. The facility is expected to benefit seniors, educate youth, and promote social activities for the area. It also will provide meals and a GED program. Dr. Jeff Johnson has accepted an offer to become the new pastor at First Baptist Church in Commerce after a nearly year-long search. A resident of White Rite, Dr. Johnson is currently the director for the Center for Borderland Research in Del Rio, among other titles. He has served as pastor at churches in Oklahoma and Texas. Officials gathered Tuesday at Weatherford Artificial Lift Systems in Greenville for the groundbreaking of a $26 million expansion. 100 new jobs will come online this summer after the 105,000-square-foot facility is completed. The company has been in Greenville for more than 25 years. After giving notice in mid-January, the Pythian Guest Home in Greenville is preparing to close its doors on March 1st, citing economic reasons. According to manager Angela Baldridge, 17 residents have been living at the facility, but homes have since been located for each. The possible closure of the Texas Farm Service Agency office in Cooper sparked public comments during a Tuesday meeting. Officials said because the office has no more than 2 employees and is within 20 miles of the next office, they are on the chopping block. July is the target date to determine the closure. A Commerce man has pleaded guilty to stealing railroad spikes, plates, and braces on property belonging to the Blackland Railroad in May of last year. Marty Moreland was given 5 years probation. His alleged co-actor, Nona K. Johnson of Campbell, is still awaiting trial. The latest report from the U.S. Drought Monitor indicates that a swath of North Texas is no longer listed under a drought, a dividing line between drought-free areas and those listed as abnormally dry runs through the middle of Hunt County, with areas to the northwest no longer under drought. A Greenville mother was in serious condition at a Dallas hospital after a hit-and-run that also injured her infant son. The boy was treated for minor injuries. The two were hit Wednesday while walking in the southbound lane of the 2600 block of King Street. The city of Cleveland, Texas, less than an hour north of Houston, has hired former Commerce City Manager Dion Miller to lead the city, effective February 21st. Miller resigned from Commerce in April 2010, a month after he was suspended by a 3-2 vote of the council. A missing 3-year-old Van Zandt County girl has been found alive and well about 2 miles from where she was last seen. Nearly 100 people, including Van Zandt County Sheriff's deputies and volunteers on Thursday, have been searching for Zoe Smith and her dog for several hours. And the Ladonia City Council is inviting citizens to a public forum on Monday as they explore animal control solutions. The goal is to formulate a comprehensive plan that will offer an effective method and program for unrestrained, loose, or stray dogs, an issue that has received public criticism. And that's a check of some of the news making headlines this week here in our region. You can find more information on each one of these stories at our website, ketr.org. Coming up next, a conversation with Spanky Carter, the judge for Fannin County in North Texas. That's next. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Listener support is what makes KETR stand out from other stations. Because you value the wide range of music you hear every day on KETR, we hope you'll make a pledge now to support it. With your donation, we'll be able to bring you another year of news and entertainment. Do your part today by pledging online. Go to KETR.org and click Support This Station. You know, every dollar makes a difference. Thank you.
We will not be an easy target. We will never roll over and let pain plan our day. We will protect our bodies and fight back by moving. We will do our morning laps, walk our dogs around the block, pass up the elevator, and proudly take the stairs. Because arthritis can't beat us if we beat it first. In the fight against arthritis, you need a weapon. What's yours? To learn more, visit us at fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR. My guest today is Spanky Carter, Fannin County Judge. A combination of record drought, epic wildfires, hard economic times, and slashed state funding has put added stress on volunteer fire departments in Texas. And today we take a look inside the North Texas County of Fannin to explore how they're faring. And Judge Carter, thanks for being with us. How many volunteer fire departments are there in Fannin County?
Well, we have 11 volunteer fire departments and one part paid, part volunteer fire department, that being the city of Bonham. There's 12, a total of 12 fire districts in Fannin County.
Okay, and then you said one is paid. How are the others funded?
Well, the way we do it, through Commissioner's Court, we fund each volunteer fire department. We give them $5,500 a year, with the exception of Ladonia Volunteer Fire Department. We give them $5,000 a year. And why that's a $500 difference is if they're certified to use the jaws of life, then we give them that extra $500. And Ladonia has not been certified at this time, but all the other agencies have. And we had 13 fire districts, and we lost one here recently, and that was Ivanhoe. Mm-hmm. And to kind of take up the slack up in the Ivanhoe area, telephone helps out, and so does Ravenna. So I could name the 12 that we have if you'd like for me to do that.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Bailey Volunteer Fire Department, Dodge City, fire department, volunteer fire department, all of them are volunteer fire departments. Ector Volunteer Fire Department, Honey Grove, Ladonia, City of Leonard, Randolph, Ravenna, Savoy, Telephone, Trenton, and the City of Bomb. So even though the city, you know, they have a fire department in Bonham, but they also have a volunteer fire department, and we supplement that with $5,500.
That $5,500, has that been the same amount funded in recent years, or has that funding gone down?
I don't know. You know, I've been a county judge. This is going on 14 months, but I've only addressed the budget one time. That was last fall, and it's been the same since I've been here. Now, I had an old contract that was dated back in December 31st, 2001, and I don't want to say that's when it first started, but at that time, the county, with the financial support, it was $2,000 a year, and they would give them $1,000 in January and $1,000 in July.
Okay, so it's gone up since 2001, according to your contract there.
It has, and that's really all the information I have on that. You know, it's been the same. We didn't go down. It's been the same since I've been here, but okay. I've only 14 months. So.
Well, I know that there's been some funding cuts really statewide in a lot of different areas, and in a lot of these counties, some of them can't afford to pay their volunteer fire departments. As you may know, Judge, some counties don't have the luxury that you do, so some of these volunteer fire departments are required to make their own money through fundraisers. Is that right?
Well, I'm sure that is, and these volunteer fire departments still do that too. There's a lot of fundraising that goes on, and they'll you know, try to gather up money in different ways. A lot of them will have barbecue events. We just had something here in Bonham out at our multi-purpose center. I believe it was just 2 weeks ago that they had a big benefit. Had a lot of bands out there, and they were able to raise quite a bit of money. I'm not for sure exactly how much. But it was a good turnout. It was packed out there, and they were able to raise quite a bit of money for the volunteer fire department.
And they need those fundraisers, don't they, Judge? They can't just rely on the money from the county. They need more than $5,500 a year. Is that right?
Well, sure. There's no question about that. So, you know, $5,500, even though it's, well, it is what it is, but it's not near enough. There's no question about that, but that's all that we're able to give at this time to help support them.
Speaking with Fannin County Judge Spanky Carter and talking about volunteer fire department funding and how they've been impacted with recent wildfires and drought here in Texas. I feel like it's a little more strained this time of year because of the wildfires, the drought that we've had, and you know, maybe the services are amped up a little more because there's just been more need to respond to wildfires that are maybe taking place in your county, other counties, maybe providing mutual aid. Would that be a correct statement?
Well, sure it would. Yes, there's no question. The last year or so, with all the wildfires, it certainly has been a challenge for Fannin County and many other counties. You know, we honestly, we've been a little more fortunate up here in Fannin County than many other counties. I mean, Texas is just, I mean, with the drought that we got going on, it's been terrible for all the wildfires in throughout Texas.
You talked about Ivanhoe having to cancel their services. Can you kind of take us back to that? I'm not sure if you were judge at the time, but what was the reason for that, and how have the other fire departments been able to come together and try to help out that community who no longer has a volunteer fire department?
Well, I don't know all the answers to that question. That happened before I was here. But I can tell you that Telephone has a great volunteer fire department, and so does Ravenna. And they've been able to kind of take up the slack. We certainly hadn't had any complaints up in the Ivanhoe area. I don't know exactly what happened. You know, there was some disagreements or whatever, and I don't know the whole story on that. But they're no longer an agency, a volunteer fire department agency. So Telephone in Ravenna helps take in that Ivanhoe area.
Do you feel then there's enough volunteer fire departments in your county to go around?
Well, I don't know if you ever have enough. What I can tell you is that we have, there's approximately 200 volunteer firefighters in this county, and they service around 900 square miles. And in our county, our last census was, if I'm not mistaken, it was 33,915. I've had to deal with that number a bunch, so I'm pretty sure that's a correct number. So we almost have 34,000 people. We have 200 volunteer firefighters in this county. So I don't know that that's enough, but I'm going to tell you something about Fannin County. We do a lot of things in this little county that maybe other counties are maybe not as fortunate. We have a lot of people that will volunteer, a lot of people that will help, and we're very fortunate in those regards.
Certainly in a much better situation than, as you mentioned, other volunteer fire departments and other counties here in Texas. Recently, the state cut in its annual volunteer fire department grants went from $25 million to $7 million, and though $7 million might sound like a large amount, it isn't when you spread it across 1,400 volunteer departments. And so, again, Fannin County receiving $5,500 apiece, each one of their volunteer fire departments, for services and able to get donations from time to time during certain events. So, Fannin County Judge Spanky Carter, we appreciate you taking the time and informing us about your county.
All right. Have a good day.
When we come back, we'll bring you coverage of Thursday's campus visit by new A&M System Chancellor, John Sharp. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Public radio listeners are heavy users of bank services, home mortgages, and financial management planning. Are these listeners your customers? They can be. Become a KETR program underwriter. For more information, call 903-513-9684.
Hello, Northeast Texas. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. I want to invite you to join me on Wednesdays and Saturdays for Outdoors with Luke Clayton. Each week we bring you a new show, and I try to get guests on that I think that you will find very, very interesting. Folks that are expert in catching fish, shooting bows, hunting with muzzle loaders, you name it. We have all the pros on. Remember, it's every Wednesday morning at 11 and every Saturday morning at noon on your station, 88.9 KETR.
The world moves quickly.
Information bombards you from all directions, TV, newspapers, the internet.
Which is why you need Morning Edition, NPR's weekday news magazine, to slow that news down.
To help you make sense of it.
Not by accepting the quick, easy answer.
By asking more questions, digging deeper.
Helping you understand the story behind the headlines.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Weekdays at 5 a.m. on listener-supported 88.9 KETR.
Welcome back to The Lead. In September, the Texas A&M University System Board of Regents named John Sharp as chancellor. He was welcomed to the A&M Commerce campus, one of the 11 system schools, on Thursday, and what was filled with campus tours and meetings with administrators and students. A public forum that afternoon allowed him to express to the local community his thoughts on the future of A&M Commerce and the system as a whole. Introducing Chancellor Sharp is University President Dan Jones.
Thank you all so much for being here this afternoon. This may be the perfect Commerce day, warm and sunny in the afternoon with a promise of rain overnight. You know, who could ask for more than that? Well, it is a great privilege and a great honor to welcome our Chancellor, John Sharp, to our campus and to our community. Chancellor Sharp took office in September after being appointed by the Board of Regents and his lovely wife, Charlotte, as well. No, you weren't appointed at that time. I think you already had a job. But it's great to have you here, and I tell you, he hit the ground running in the A&M system. Chancellor Sharp is not new to A&M. He, in fact, is an Aggie. He's got the ring. He has an interesting story behind the ring, in fact. It's one of six unique rings in the system, right? But I'll let him tell that if he wishes. But he is a 1972 graduate of a Texas A&M, so he is an Aggie. But the system has changed a bit since 72, and now we're a part of it. I'm very grateful for that as well. You also know the name of John Sharp in a lot of other contexts. Although he is new to the position of chancellor, he is by no means new to public service in the state of Texas. He, born and raised in Victoria, served in the Texas House of Representatives, the Texas Senate, and went on to a very successful career as the comptroller, Texas State Comptroller, where he will be remembered as the man who reinvented Texas government. And so it was a very effective and productive term. So I think all of us owe you a debt of gratitude for the tremendous service that you have given back to the state of Texas. And, of course, we're thrilled to have you at the helm of the Texas A&M University system. So please join me in welcoming Chancellor John Sharp.
Now, you will notice that the first speaker said and Chancellor Sharp would deliver some brief remarks. Let me tell you, that's true, because I asked Dan what he wanted me to talk about, and he said, I want you to talk about 2 minutes, and then I want you to take questions. So I got the drill figured out. So I'm going to give an Aggie speech, which is by definition short and to the point, as opposed to Longhorn speech, which has point here, and mostly bull in between. So we'll get right to it. For those of you who haven't had the pleasure, this is my wife, Charlotte. Glad to have her with me today. And it is an honor to be here and to be chancellor of this great system, and especially to be here with this wonderful president that has the full backing of everybody in the hierarchy of this system. I guarantee you, he is our rising star. This is a jewel of growth, we like to call it, because there is no institution in the entire A&M system that is growing faster than this university is growing. And we are so proud to have it as part of the system. What our job is to make sure that your job is easier and that his job is easier, and that we stay out of the way when it's important, and that we help facilitate, whether it's financing or other things, the growth of the university, whether it includes dorms, whether it includes classrooms, whether it's money for a nursing center, this beautiful band hall that got the pleasure of attending the dedication to a couple of 3 months ago was just a blowing away deal for me. I couldn't believe that. I used to play the trombone. I do know something about music, briefly, until they asked me to start playing football and give up the band. That was kind of an unusual deal. But when I first started this job, I have to tell you, I thought I knew a whole bunch about this system. I thought I knew everything there was about everything. I had been a legislator, a state senator, state representative. I'd helped with funding for all of this. And I came to the conclusion in about a week that I didn't know anything, that basically what was happening, particularly in these regional universities, and I say regional meaning outside of College Station, was absolutely incredible. The research projects, the faculty that are here, the ideas that bubble up that the other universities look at and go, oh my God, we need to do this here. What you're doing with e-books, the founding of this university is really still, I think, one of the most important things that we as a system can do. We are proud of the fact that nearly a third of all the teachers educated in the state of Texas are educated within the Texas A&M system. And they ain't ordinary teachers. These are teachers that regularly meet, collaborate, find different ways out of the box to teach young men and women. And one of the things that I've always been disappointed in is universities like Harvard and Yale and folks like that get big and they think, well, we're too big and prestigious to do teaching. Well, thank God everybody doesn't have that attitude, or there won't be any more professors coming along because there's no teachers to teach them. And I'm real proud of that. The growth of the business school, the growth of the nursing school that's going to come along as soon as I get you that $5 million you're harping about, and in all of those kinds of things. This is a great, great jewel of the A&M system, and I am so proud to be a part of it. And I want you to know, you know, sometime back there was a little controversy, as you might recall, in Austin and a few places about 5 solutions, 7 solutions. I can't even remember how many solutions there were. But let me tell you something. The single most important thing about a university is the faculty and the researchers. You take those two away, you run those two away, and you have no reason to have a university to begin with, because there's nothing for the students to come to and nothing for everybody else to work to. In every meeting I go into with faculty and research people, I know that I'm the least important person in the room. That is also shared by this president and a whole bunch of other people in this system, because we know what we're here for. And what we're here for is to make sure the students have the absolute best facilities, best faculty that exist. That's what my job is as chancellor. And I will guarantee you this, these regents are really excited about the kind of growth that they see here. We wish we had it in every institution within the A&M system, and we are so proud that the name Texas A&M is attached to this institution, and we want to make sure you are proud of that too, and we're going to do everything we can to achieve that goal.
That's A&M System Chancellor John Sharp speaking to the Texas A&M University Commerce Community Thursday afternoon during a campus visit. We have audio from the complete public forum, which includes a question and answer session at our website, ketr.org. Let's take a break. We're back to wrap things up after this on your station, 88.9 KETR.
The mall sure is busy today. Okay, what's on my list? Birthday present for Beth, stop at the electronics store, and then grab a quick bite. Did that guy leave his shopping bag? Looks like there's a package inside, covered in duct tape. Did he leave it on purpose? That can't be right.
Excuse me, security? I just noticed that there's a shopping
bag. We all play a role in keeping our communities safe. If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities. If you see something, say something is used with permission by the New York MTA.
Mary Clark is your tour guide to the world.
Off we sped through Siem Reap and into the countryside, where we passed the Cambodians walking, biking, and riding. Mount Pleasant lives up to its name as a pleasing place to visit. Back at the restaurant, the cooking began. We moved between the chopping table and kitchen and used blenders, fine knives.
Let Mary Clark take you on a trip without even leaving your radio. During Mary Clark Traveler, Tuesday mornings at 7:20 during Morning Edition on 88.9 KETR.
Welcome back to The Lead. It's now time to check out the events calendar for Northeast Texas. An open house is scheduled at the Monster Sports Academy in Commerce Saturday. The free event is from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., at the location at 2201 Live Oak Street. Something dear to the KETR family, a memorial service is scheduled for Bruce Tater, whose appreciation for jazz music and education was exhibited through his volunteer work on Dallas's public radio station KERA's BMT Jazz from 1975 to 1989, and of course on KETR's The Art of Sound with Mark Chapman from 1992 to 2008. Bruce passed away in October of last year. The memorial is at the Sherman Jazz Museum Saturday afternoon. And the annual Daddy-Daughter Dance, another event on the events calendar. It's at the Northeast Texas Children's Museum of Commerce on Saturday evening. And it begins at 6:30 Saturday evening, runs until 8:30 that night. A reminder that each one of these events and others can be found at our website, ketr.org/events. And we strongly encourage you to post your own event, and that will be approved and read on the air. That's going to do it for today's installment of The Lead. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Fannin County Judge Spanky Carter on how volunteer fire departments are funded in his county and what appears a better situation financially that many other VFWs are struggling with these days, but funding issues still do remain and donations must be received. And a reminder that the audio from Thursday's public forum with A&M System Chancellor John Sharp, the complete Q&A forum, is at our website, ketr.org. And, of course, the shortened version will be within this show when we post the entire show up on our website, the archive, as we do each and every week. That is the same address, ketr.org. We'll be back same time next Friday at 10 a.m., and our show re-airs at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Coming up next is Texas Matters. This has been The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm your host, Scott Harvey. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
KETR is your trusted source for local news, weather, and information. This is coverage that's becoming less and less common elsewhere as radio stations cut back on their budgets in these tight times. At 88.9, your contributions make up a large portion of our budget, which makes your involvement so vital. Help out your station with a contribution in any amount, and it really does make a difference. Visit KETR.org and click on support. Donate a few minutes of your time and a few of your hard-earned dollars to keep KETR running strong.